Hello and welcome to the Do Life Different podcast, hosted by 1128 Community Church. I'm your host, Mike Francisco, and today I'm excited to share that we have our very own Natalia Galarza with us. She's our Director of Students here at 1128, and she's also an artist. She decorates cakes. She does all kinds of sketchy pictures of me for our social media pages. She doodles sermon notes. She does it all. She's an artist, a free thinker, an entrepreneur, and I'm excited to have her with us today. How are you, Natalia?
Good. That was so kind of you. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Well, this weekend we launched into our series, Cursed. And for those of you that haven't heard, Cursed is this series that is kind of looking at the family tree, the genealogy, the lineage of Jesus. And maybe you can relate. Maybe you have experienced generational trauma, and you believe that you're destined to live out the same story that's plagued your family forever. And this is a brainchild of Natalia. She kind of came up with this idea and has helped to create the space for us to think through this and put this series together. So I thought it would be great to ask you just some questions about that, the process, your thoughts, your feelings. Maybe if there's traumatic experiences or things that you feel comfortable sharing, you could go into that. But first, let me just ask this question. What makes this series Cursed and generational trauma, what makes it personal to you?
Yeah, well, I'm not unique in the fact that I've experienced generational trauma. I mean, so many people experience it in different ways. People, you know, have experienced addiction or different types of abuse, whether emotional or physical or spiritual. But I think what really speaks to me, why this is so important to me, is because for me, for a long time, I felt so stuck in what my family is and like a product of my environment, that I couldn't see or understand the saving grace of Jesus specific to me. Like, I was beyond that reach. And I think that a lot of people might suffer with that because, you know, when you've experienced something life-changing and not for the better, you're kind of surrounded by a fog. It's really hard to see how grace, because it's not tangible immediately, like, how can that reach you?
And so you talked a little bit about, like, growing up in there and feeling like maybe you were going to be stuck living out that experience and living out some sort of fog. What was your growing up experience like? Family, church, those kind of things. Help us connect those dots.
Yeah. So for me, I'm third generation American, which for some people, they hear that and they're like, oh, three generations, you're settled, you're good. But I'm also from, you know, like, generations of teenage pregnancies. So I, you know, was born into a family with a grandmother and a mother who were still getting acclimated, you know, to culture, to our surroundings, to life. And for me, like, I was a full grown up by the age of 14. Like, my childhood stopped at 13. And so there was a lot missed out. And so three generations, I mean, you could almost sum it up in first generation American when you want to think about it like that. I was still very just enveloped in my family's culture. And that plays a big part in our belief system. And so I think America, you know, everybody's like a logical thinker. Everybody's educated on something. And I was raised in a home that logic didn't come first. Emotion did. And your emotions were either completely invalid and used against you or terrible, or you had to completely trust them. Like, how do you feel instinctually? Like, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? And that's kind of how you react or step into something. And for me, the church, I grew up in religion, and I wish it was easy. I could just say that, like, I just grew up in religion and everybody would be like, oh yeah, I get it. But I also grew up in the occult, or what, you know, we would recognize as, you know, Christians as the occult, and not in a sense where there was malicious intent involved in the way I was raised in my beliefs, but just culturally, I mean, there's a lot of things native to my family and where they came from in Mexico that were practiced. And when religion was brought to Mexico, they kind of like intermingled the two. So we believed in Jesus, we believed in God, but we had all these other extra things that we believed in. And so there, I had a very strong awareness of evil and like spiritual things, like even more so than I did of I actually didn't know the saving grace of Jesus. I knew very little of Jesus. I knew he was the Son of God, but I knew God, and God was the one who was watching us, and God was the one who was judging us. But then we were also messing around with all this other stuff. So it was very confusing, and I don't want to completely shun what I learned in religion, because, you know, like, God makes a way for all things. And that was my first introduction to faith, and it's exploded since then. But there was a lot of things that were just confusing, and I was consistently at this teeter-totter of seeking control, but being aware that there's evil all around me that's tempting me to do bad and then inviting me into things. But then also like, oh my gosh, God's watching you and you have to make up for that. And the only way you can make up for that for us was good works. But there was never enough that you could do to be good enough. So it was just this complete imbalance that was very unhealthy. And it kind of set me up for failure in the eyes of God.
Yeah, that sounds pretty hopeless.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and then I was very stubborn and headstrong when I was younger. So I went to a private high school. And so I got to learn more, a little bit more about the Bible. I mean, it was a Bible-based school, but we didn't really open it too much. But I got to grow in like learning how to pray and in certain aspects of faith. But anytime I messed up, I felt incredibly guilty. I felt like there was no turning around. And I would look at my family and I would look at some of these practices they did. And, you know, me being this new generation and thinking I'm wiser, it's like, I'm not going to be like any of you. I'm going to do things so different. But what ultimately happened is when I was 19, I did fall into the same generational pattern that, you know, all the women did before me. And that's when I really felt hopeless and lost and like, wow, there's no hope. We're stuck. This is how it's going to be. And I think it really, when I really began searching for God, it was because I had a daughter of my own. My first child was my daughter. And I was like, oh, something has to break. It is a generational curse, right? Like something has to stop and it has to stop with me. And so that's kind of what led me on my faith journey.
So let me ask you about that. You call it a generational curse, and there have been multiple generations, right, where this has kind of been the pattern or the way it is, if you want to think of it that way. Is that a spiritual thing, or is that a learned thing, or is it a little bit of both? Is it like a circumstance that you just kind of find yourself in and don't know how to get, like, help me understand that?
So I think it's a little bit of everything. There was a pastor, and I don't know his name, but he said, like, sin is contagious. It's like a disease. My children don't suffer because I have it. They suffer because they end up catching it. And it's, you know, like, again, product of your environment. You're watching things, and eventually you don't know how to react except for how you've seen other people react. And then, I mean, in the same construct, like trauma, at least in my generation and in my family, was something you didn't talk about. You didn't talk about mental health. You didn't talk about anxieties. And so what it becomes is, instead of looking at it as trauma or reaction to like an event or a circumstance, you think that's the person's personality, or that's just their family trait. That's just them. That's who they are. And so that's like kind of how it looks on a social end of things. But Ephesians 6:12, it talks about that our struggle isn't against like flesh and blood. It's against, you know, spiritual powers in the dark world and forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And that's what I think it is. And because I grew up in such a spiritually heavy home, and I was so aware of like the forces of evil and the darkness around me, I do think that it kind of opened up a door where I allowed that to be the normal. Like, our whole family just allowed it to be the normal. Like, we had essentially, like in English, it would be called witchcraft, but there's more, it's more complex than that. I feel like that makes it so fictionalized, like just saying witchcraft. But we had something where if something goes wrong in your life, you know, like, oh, you're broke, you lost all your money, or oh, you're really sick, or your family's falling apart. There was no accountability. The immediate thought was somebody did a mala on you, which means somebody did bad on you, which means somebody is wishing bad on you. They're praying bad against you. They're hoping for bad. And so you just feel like this sense of like, almost like a haunting, right? Like everything's out to get you and there's no hope. There's nothing outside of that.
So it's interesting that you talk about it's like some spiritual forces, your awareness of evil. I think a lot of times Christians are quick to say, well, God's giving you this opportunity, right? Like this is an opportunity for you to learn something or to grow or to come out stronger on the other end. This is going to be a deep question, but why is that not true? Like, do you think God causes us to have hardships like that? Or is that and allows us to have hardships like that? Or is God not involved in those things whatsoever?
Yeah, I mean, you could ask me this every 5 years, and I think the answer evolves. So we're in a fallen world, if I'm giving you, you know, the basic answer. Like, it's not God's intention. That's not his intention for our lives. But people are messy, and people screw up, and unfortunately, there's a ripple effect to that. And sometimes you're on the receiving end, or sometimes you're the one who cast the stone. And I hate to be one of those people to look at somebody and say, like, I know you can't see it, but like, there's a purpose for this. Like, this is going to be used for good. And essentially, eventually, yes, I mean, like, God uses all things for good. And there are so many people who need to hear, people who have gone through this. But in the moment, like, that doesn't do anything. So much empathy and just like meeting somebody where they are is required, because it, again, it's like those intangible answers.
I have a friend that lost a brother-in-law in a car accident. And one thing that just really hurt was the amount of Christians that said, well, God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. This happened for a reason. And it just, it's hard to hear those kinds of thoughts and answers, because it doesn't feel like that's something that God would want in those moments. And I think that's what ends up causing us to have this feeling or this wondering of, am I cursed? Is my family tree cursed? Like, are we just stuck living out this life that's been handed to us? Is God really here? Does God really see me? Does God really care about my situation, my family, my future? Does God want the same things that I want? Or maybe the question should be, do I want the same things that God wants?
Yeah, and that takes some growth and wisdom to get to that point.
Yes, it does. And it's a hard thing to grow and develop. But once you're there, it helps you have this deeper understanding of like, okay, life can be different. Life can be different. And so there's all kinds of trauma. There's all kinds of things, generational things that we carry, right? Baggage. Maybe it's broken relationships. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's related to other kind of like problems, unwise choices. Maybe it's family divorce and things like that. The list is probably close to endless. But if you had to give one piece of hope for somebody today that's sitting here, they feel like, man, I'm cursed. I can't break this cycle. This is generation upon generation of you fill in the blank. What would that small, tiny piece of hope be for them sitting here right now?
That, honestly, that just even beautiful things grow in the darkness. And you can look anywhere in creation and in anything that God has built, right? Even if you can't look at yourself and you can't look at people you know and see like God's goodness, look at anything else in creation, okay? And people like to reference the butterfly, right? So they see the butterfly and it represents growth and it goes through, it thinks the end of the world and it goes into its cocoon and it comes out and it has wings. And yes, that's great. That's a great analogy, but I love the moth, right? Because the moth is the exact same thing, except it grows in the darkness. And it comes out and people like it, it looks a little more tattered. It's a little dull in color, but it flies and it thrives when it's darkest. And it can still do all the same things the butterfly can do. And I think the biggest thing would be don't compare. Because your story is never going to look the same, even if it has, you know, same little moments, or even if it started the same and ended up on a different road, no two stories are the same. So you can't compare, and you just have to, clinging to hope is the biggest thing, and you cling to hope there will be goodness.
Yeah. No, that's great. And I think what I hear in there too is every day is a brand new day. Every day is an opportunity to break that curse, for God to step in and do something that only God can do. And it's our chance to sit with God and say, God, I need you now more than I ever need you before. So thanks for being with us. Thanks for helping us just have a little conversation around this series, Cursed. If you want to check out more from Natalia, she's going to be speaking in a couple weeks on Good Friday, and that'll be online, and we'll get you more information so you can see that and hear that and hear from her. So, Natalia, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Mike.
And we'll catch back up with the rest of you soon enough. Have a great rest of the day.